Want to welcome our brother, Dr. David Whitlock, to the pulpit today. Thank you, God.
Please open your copies of God's Word this morning to Psalm 72. If you're using the Pew Bible, you'll find that on page 615. Psalm 72. The focus of our study this morning will be the sixth verse, but I would like to read the whole psalm in your hearing this morning. Psalm 72, let us all give attention to the Word of God. Of Solomon. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land. On the tops of the mountains may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon, and may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. His fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him. All nations call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Amen. This is the word of God. May he be pleased to write its truth on our hearts this morning. Well, may I say it is a blessing to be with you here in Beaver Falls this Lord's Day morning. And it is indeed also a pleasure to be living once again in Western Pennsylvania. Since my family and I moved here from Northern Ireland 3 months ago, we've been made to feel very much at home. Perhaps what's made us feel most at home is the weather. We have moved from one very wet climate, it seems, to another. I've lost count of the friends and neighbors who have said, we've just never seen rain like this before. I read yesterday on the local news website that the longest the Western PA area has been without precipitation in 2019 has been 6 days. And I guess we're on track now to beat last year's record of the greatest rainfall, I think, since records began. Nearly 60 inches is what I read, more than Seattle, apparently. So a lot of rain. And while, of course, we all know that we need the rain, my more superstitious neighbors have said that perhaps our family brought the rain with us from Ireland. So I do apologize if we bear any responsibility. But this morning, I want us to think about another kind of rain. And it's a kind of rain that our country and our communities need even more than the rain we've been experiencing from the heavens. The inspired author of this psalm, Psalm 72, speaks of the coming Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, as being like rain. And we read it in verse 6 of this psalm. May He, that is Christ, be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In order to fully understand this metaphor, this phrase, we need to understand the context. And so we're going to do two things in our time together this morning. First of all, we want to survey the whole psalm. And then secondly, we want to focus in particularly on this sixth verse and try to unpack this metaphor, which tells us that Jesus shall reign like rain. So two things. Jesus shall reign, first of all, and secondly, Jesus shall reign like rain. Let's get our bearings in the psalm, first of all. Who wrote this psalm? Well, if you consult the commentaries, you'll find, as is so often the case, there's differences of opinion as to who may have written this psalm. The title in the original Hebrew simply reads, Of Solomon. But then you have the final verse, which tells us that it is a prayer of David. And so there's some contention over who the author might have been. Perhaps it was written by David about Solomon. But as we read the psalm, it clearly echoes the covenant, you remember, that God made with King David. And you remember that covenant. We read of it in 2 Samuel 7, where God says this to King David, "When your days are fulfilled, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." That's the covenant that God made with David. So when we come to the psalm, Psalm 72, David is clearly praying for the fulfillment of these covenant promises through his son Solomon. Now you might ask then, well, is this psalm a prophecy then, or is it a prayer? If you're using a King James Version or a New King James Version, this psalm is translated into English rather like a prophecy. He will judge. He shall come down like rain. He shall have dominion. The desert tribes will bow down to him, and so on throughout the psalm. But the English Standard Version that we're using this morning, it sounds a little more like a prayer. May he judge. May he be like rain that falls. May he have dominion, and so on to the end of the psalm. So the question is this a prophecy about Jesus, or is it a prayer about Jesus? And the answer, of course, is yes. Okay? Either way, it's pointing to certain future events with prayerful confidence. And these future events have to do with a coming king. Psalm 72 presents us with the identity of the king, right from the very first verse. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's Son or to the royal Son. Here's a prayer that God would send forth His appointed King and would equip Him to judge, to rule. Now, while this certainly applies in the first place to Solomon, he was, after all, the king's son, the language of the psalm points beyond, of course, the earthly reign of David's son, Solomon, to the heavenly reign of David's greater son, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is the fulfillment of that great covenant made with David. All judgment, Jesus says, has been entrusted to me by the Father, John 5, verse 22. So this prayer that we're considering this morning is also a prophecy. Solomon's glorious reign of peace is what we call a type or an Old Testament foreshadowing of Christ's even more glorious reign of peace. And this reign of the king then is expounded from verse 2 to the end of the psalm. The psalm tells us that Jesus reigns over the church in verses 2 to 7. In verse 2, we read, "May He judge your people with righteousness." He is the King and the head of the church, which is the true Israel, bringing them salvation and making them prosper. But then in addition to this, it tells us that Jesus reigns over the nations in verses 8 to 19. Verse 8, for example, "May He have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth." Jesus will bring salvation to the entire Gentile world, making them prosper as well. And it is the church, that will be the means to bring this gospel to all the nations, who will then be incorporated into its numbers. So to summarize then, this psalm that we know and love and sing often teaches us that Jesus shall reign over the church and over the nations. It speaks of what we call theologically the mediatorial kingship of Christ. That dominion that Jesus has received as a gift from His Father because He died upon the cross. It's what we read this morning in our responsive reading from Philippians chapter 2. He humbled Himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And so this psalm speaks to us of the post-Pentecost blessing of Jesus building His church throughout the world. Matthew 24, 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So in short, this psalm speaks of the experience of today's church. It speaks of what we should look for in the worldwide church, in our own congregations, and in our own Christian lives as Jesus judges His people with righteousness. Jesus shall reign. But that brings us then to our second point and our main point this morning, which is that Jesus shall reign like rain. Jesus shall reign like rain. We surveyed the psalm. We've learned that it's speaking of the glorious reign of Jesus Christ as mediatorial king and head over the church and the nations today. And with this context, we're now ready to study this rich metaphor in verse 6. And I invite you, if you have your Bible open, to look again at this verse with me. "May He be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth." So with Jesus now reigning as king in our era of world history, we are to expect Him to be like rain to us as His people. And I want us to think for the rest of our time about three ways that Jesus' reign is like rain. Here's number one. Jesus is like rain in his coming down from heaven. Jesus is like rain in his coming down from heaven. The text says, may he be like rain that falls, or may he be like rain that comes down, some translations have it. This Hebrew verb, to come down or to fall, is often used in Old Testament prophecy to speak of God descending to the earth in judgment and salvation. We think, for instance, of Isaiah 64:1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. It's the same verb. And of course, the message of the New Testament is that Jesus has come down. And we know who it's talking about. But the question is, when exactly does this coming down take place? What exactly does it refer to? Well, some suggest that it must refer to the incarnation. Jesus came down from heaven to the earth to live for us and to die for us. This is what theologians call his estate of humiliation, his mediatorial work. But we've already seen this morning that this psalm is not, in fact, primarily describing Christ's estate of humiliation, but rather his estate of exaltation. It describes the rich blessings the church enjoys in this present age by virtue of his mediatorial work. Jesus is not in the grave this morning, is he? He's been raised from the dead. He has been ascended on high. He's seated in royal majesty at the Father's right hand, where he is building his church. He is putting all of his enemies under his feet. And it is as such, we are told in this psalm, that he shall come down to us like rain. So the rain metaphor in this verse is describing a present activity of the now risen King Jesus, experienced by his loyal subjects on the earth. He presently comes down from heaven to his church like rain. And I would submit to you this morning that the exalted Jesus comes down like rain on his church by the ongoing ministry of his Holy Spirit. Commentator George Horn says of this metaphor, what image can convey a better idea of those most beneficial and blessed effects which followed the descent of the Son of God and that of the Spirit at the day of Pentecost? Or take the Puritan Matthew Poole. He says, this phrase speaks of Christ who brought down from heaven his doctrine, which is often compared to rain, and the sweet and powerful influences of his Spirit. If you look around the pages of the Old Testament, you'll find this to be a common metaphor of Christ communicating his blessings to his people in this present messianic age after Pentecost. Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit on your descendants, and they will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. And so, like the rain, Jesus still comes down to us from heaven. He rules, and he administers, and he advances his church from his heavenly throne above, but he is no distant monarch. He's not just way up there, far away, looking down. He is amongst us by his Spirit. He communicates daily grace to his people, and he communes with his people by his Holy Spirit. Isn't this your experience? Is Jesus a king that's distant, or is he a king that's close by? Don't you walk with him day by day? And maybe this all sounds very abstract, and you say, well, what does this look like practically in my daily Christian experience? How can I obtain this rain from heaven? How can I irrigate my life with Christ in this wilderness? I think our catechism gives a very helpful answer to this question, 88. the outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of redemption are his ordinances, especially the word and the sacraments and prayer, all of which are made effectual to the elect for salvation. Brothers and sisters, this is how Jesus Christ comes down like rain on his church. The Bible, the sacraments, and prayer, these are the conduits whereby Jesus showers his blessings upon you. And as we're going to see, these are the vessels by which the precious rain of Christ is channeled into your thirsty souls. So Jesus is like rain in his coming down from heaven. May he be like rain that comes down. Another way that Jesus is like rain is that Jesus is like rain in his life-giving power. Jesus is like rain in his life-giving power. Several millions of miles away from this planet, NASA's space rover Curiosity is continuing its mission this morning on the planet Mars. What is its mission? Well, there's several things, but the one that we seem to hear about the most is to see if there was ever any liquid water on the red planet to sustain life. Everywhere in God's creation, water is essential for life. Now, I know we're far away from it at the moment in this part of the world, but think of times where we've experienced drought here. Your lawn and your flowers and your vegetable gardens and your crops, they die because of lack of water. And it's exactly the same in the spiritual realm. Jesus is like rain in his life-giving power. This verse teaches you that there is no spiritual life or vitality outside of Jesus Christ. So in what ways does Christ our rain give us life? Well, for one thing, he does it by regenerating his people when they were dead. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass. Now, there's another metaphor we find throughout the Bible, isn't it? The grass that is fragile, it's fleeting, just like we are. It's cut down and burned. It's all over the scriptures you read this. It describes what you are physically, certainly. But more than this, it describes your nature spiritually. By nature, you are dead in trespasses and sins. As our brother prayed this morning, we are no better than those out there in the town this morning, dead in trespasses and sins. This is what we are by nature. And yet, when Christ comes down, and praise God, many of us can testify to this, we remember when he did come down to us like rain, life-giving rain. He regenerated us, didn't he? He bestowed life where there was death. And of course, he does so also by the ordinance of his word. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. But you see, your need of Christ as life-giving rain doesn't stop at conversion, because Christ, our rain, also gives life by reviving his people when they experience a spiritual drought. Have you ever had a hot summer and looked out your window and you see the parched lawn, you see all your plants shriveled up with the heat, and maybe you've looked at that and you've thought to yourself, that's just like me. I feel that way spiritually at this time. The drooping leaves, the thirsty ground, the fruitless vines. And you know, you come to church, you sit in the pews, outwardly everything seems fine and healthy, but you know, and maybe I'm speaking to someone this morning, on the inside, there's a drought going on. All of us, from time to time, go through those spiritual dry seasons, don't we? Maybe it's a moderate drought. Maybe in your case this morning it's quite severe. You think about the fruit of the Spirit that are meant to be growing and they seem to be withered on your vine. Maybe your time with the Lord isn't as refreshing, isn't as spiritually enlivening as you remember it having been in the past. The heavens seem closed when you pray. You feel unmotivated. You feel lethargic like you do on a hot, sultry day. David experienced this. Read this over and over in the Psalms. Psalm 63:1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Maybe someone here this morning has been tolerating some sin in their lives. Maybe like the psalmist, you've been dwelling in a thirsty land, far from the company of the Lord and His people. You've not been walking with the Lord. You've not been walking according to the statutes of this great King that the psalmist is telling us about. Maybe you've grieved the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And He has withheld, as it were, the rain. Well, at such times you need to call a state of emergency, as oftentimes our states do in times of drought. You need to do what everybody does in a drought. You need to pray for rain. Pray for rain. You need to resolve today in your heart, I will return to the Lord. Like the psalmist, you need to thirst and your flesh long for Jesus, who alone is your rain. You need to pursue Him in His ordinances like a storm chaser. You ever watch those storm chasers? National Geographic Channel, you know? Crazy guys. They jump in the truck and they chase the storm. Oh, look at the storms. Go for it. Everybody's running the other way. There, that's what you need to do. It's people in this community this morning, and they're running away from the churches. You need to be running in, because this is where the clouds are full of rain to drop upon your soul and to nourish you. You need to avail yourself of every opportunity to come under the life-giving influences of Jesus, who is your rain. That's what God's backslidden people did, you remember, in the book of Hosea. In Hosea 6:3, they said, "Let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth." I wonder, do you need to make that your resolve this morning? To press on, to chase that rain cloud, so that you may be revived. The covenanter David Dixon says on this verse, "Whatsoever sad condition His people shall be in, yet Christ, by His word, spirit, and effectual blessing, shall revive and recover them, as grass cut down, being watered by rain, is made to grow again." Isn't it wonderful we have a Savior this morning who delights to revive His people when they experience seasons of spiritual drought. And remember, what's true of us as individual believers is true also corporately of the church as a whole. Hasn't the church in America become a dry and thirsty land? We need revival. We need Christ to come down like rain, like showers that water the earth, to regenerate dead unbelievers and to enliven thirsty believers and to revive His church in this community and this land. Jesus is like rain in His life-giving power. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you need to pray for more rain. And if you are a Christian this morning, whether you're facing spiritual drought or not, you need to pray for more rain. And if you care about the state of the church, of our congregation, You'll pray for more rain. Not a lot of people in Pennsylvania praying for more rain at the moment. But you need to be doing that. Send more. Send more. Jesus is like rain. He's like rain in His coming down from heaven. He's like rain in His life-giving power. And thirdly, Jesus is like rain in His fruit-yielding power. In His fruit-yielding power. It's interesting if you read the results of this rain coming down in verse 7. Let's read those two verses. May He be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In His days, may the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. Christ our rain does more than just give you spiritual life. Jesus sustains your spiritual life. He makes your life to abound with fruit. You see, you depend on Jesus as your spiritual rain, not just when you're dead in sin, not just in those seasons of spiritual drought. You also need Him when things are going well. Maybe I'm speaking to someone else this morning. You think, you know, by God's grace, I find the Lord close with me. I'm walking with Him. I'm seeing victory over sin in my life, and I sense His closeness. Well, you need Jesus as your rain in these growing seasons as well. Sustained rain is essential, not just to stave off death, but to produce growth and a harvest of rich fruit. And once again, Jesus bears fruit in you by the rain of His Word and doctrine. I think it's really interesting in this verse that it's making reference actually to the famous last words of two of the greatest Old Testament pictures of Christ. Is quoting the last words of Moses and also of David, who we think was probably the author of this psalm. Just listen to Moses' last words in Deuteronomy 32:2. This is what he said. Let my teaching, drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. And then listen to the last words of King David. This is 2 Samuel 23:2. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His word was on my tongue. He, that is Christ, will be like rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. Isn't it interesting that both verses use exactly the same words as Psalm 72, verse 6. And both of them also specify that their word and doctrine are like the rain that makes things grow. And of course, what they're saying is fulfilled by the word and doctrine of their great and glorious antitype, Jesus Christ, the greater than Moses, the greater than David. Now, what's my point? My point is that by Christ's word, read and preached, and by the visible word of the sacraments, Christ, your reign, comes down upon you with power and enables you to bear fruit. That's how it works. Like showers that water the earth in His days, may the righteous flourish. He comes as rain in the word and doctrine. And bear in mind also, lest we be misunderstood, that Christ comes by rain of different degrees. Different degrees. You've heard it said about the Eskimos, the Inuit peoples, that they have many different words for snow. Right? We've all heard that, right? Why? Well, they have a lot of snow. And perhaps you aren't aware of it, but Irish people have many different words for rain. Why? You know the answer. A heavy rain in Ireland may be pouring or lashing or chucking or tipping or bucketing. I could give you a long list. And then you have the light rain. And the light rain could be spitting or sprinkling or dripping. And I could give you a long list of terms there as well. And I think in a very similar way, the two different Hebrew words used in these verses describe two different kinds of rain. The word that's translated in our English versions, rain here, usually refers to a heavy, sudden downpour, kind of like what we've had a lot of in recent weeks here in Western PA. But then you've got this other word that's translated showers. And this word refers more to a regular, steady rainfall. And you see, in times of drought, it's not enough just to have a few downpours. It's that sustained, steady, regular rainfall that will bring real fruit and lasting recovery from a time of drought. Now, you know how I'm going to apply this. It's the same in our spiritual lives. Christ occasionally comes in great downpours, times of revival nationally or personally. Maybe you go away, for example, to a conference and you get a great measure of blessing. You come back from Laurelville or TFY or a sprinter retreat and you just come back refreshed. You have a fresh zeal and vigor and vision. Praise the Lord for that. But friends, this is no substitute for the steady, regular use of the ordinary means of grace, day by day, Sabbath by Sabbath, if you're going to bear that fruit that lasts even to eternal life. Well, we've thought about how Jesus is like rain this morning. He's like rain in His coming down from heaven. He's like rain in His life-giving power, and He's like rain in His fruit-yielding power. And in closing, I want to give just a few words of application to drive, I hope, this message home. Friends, if Christ is your rain, let me charge you. Don't take the rain for granted. Don't take the rain for granted. It's only when we've been deprived of the rain that we really value it. I think most people in our neighborhood that I've spoke to haven't really appreciated all the rain we've had this summer. And if we've ever been guilty of taking the physical rain for granted, then how much more have you and I taken our spiritual rain for granted? Have we despised the means of grace? Have we neglected them when we've had them? Have we failed to be thankful for them? If we grieve the Holy Spirit, our Father may chasten us and teach us the true value of Christ the hard way. Do you remember what He said in Amos chapter 8, verse 11? Behold, the days are coming that I will send a famine on the land, but not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but rather of hearing the words of God. Do we take the rain for granted? Neglected means often become scarce means. And then finally, let me charge you to avail yourselves of this rain. Avail yourselves of this rain. You know where to find it. In fact, you here in College Hill can predict when the rain is going to fall and where. Your job as a Christian is to catch as much of this spiritual rain as possible. And the more vessels you can place under the rain cloud, the better. When you do, God has attached a beautiful promise to it. You remember those words in Isaiah 55:10? For as the rain comes down from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. When you think about it, to live a fruitless Christian life is dead easy. It's dead easy. Neglect the worship services. Avoid, like the plague, the prayer meeting. Be too busy for your quiet time. Find some convenient excuse to avoid having family worship. And above all, clutter the Sabbath day with worldly pursuits. That's all you've got to do. It's quite easy. But my friends know that it comes at a terrible cost. There is a very solemn warning in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 that reads as follows. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. But the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears only thorns and briars is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. If you're a member or an adherent of this congregation, then in the words of Hebrews 6, the rain often comes upon you. Just look at this. This is, I think, the biggest bulletin I've ever seen in RP Church. It's awesome. Look at all these opportunities you have to receive the rain. Think about that. You have the word preached weekly. You have the corporate prayer meeting. You have sacrament to nourish your soul monthly. I'm sure at home you have Bibles and books and you've blogs and you've sermon downloads to nourish your soul whenever you want them. Christ is falling on this congregation like rain. So the question I want to leave you with is, do you drink in the rain that often falls upon you? As the writer to Hebrews says, if so, where's the fruit? Where's the fruit in your life? As we live in this age of Christ's kingly rule, may He continue to rain upon us with regular showers and, if it please Him, with increasingly regular downpours as well. And may we all this morning avail ourselves of Christ, who is our rain, and so bear fruit to His glory. Amen.